Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Liberian President George Weah kicks off the September 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Widely regarded as one of the greatest African footballers of all time, the 51-year-old Weah took a break from his presidential duties and played 79 minutes Tuesday in a 2-1 home defeat by Nigeria. Liberia arranged the friendly international match to officially retire Weah's number 14 jersey. So says Liberia's Minister of Youth and Sports, Dester Zogar Wilson.
Our President George Weah wore number 14 jersey for the national soccer team, the Lone Star. As captain of the Lone Star, he was able to qualify Liberia for its first ever African Cup of Nations in 1996. As technical director, he was able to qualify Liberia for the second appearance in 2002 in Bamako, Mali. And the number 14 jersey is a very important jersey, also because through the national team, the Lone Star, where his local performance, it got him to France. And from his performance up to date, he's the only African player who's won the Ballon d'Or. And that is a great achievement.
President Weah received a standing ovation from the fans in Monrovia when he came off the pitch. Nigeria's goals came from Henry Onyekuru and Simeon Nwankwo. The Lone Star of Liberia pulled one back late in the friendly match on a penalty shot by Kapa Sherman. Meanwhile, President George Weah's 18-year-old son, Tim, played for the U.S. men's national soccer team Tuesday in a 1-0 victory over Mexico. The friendly international match between regional rivals was played in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. Both the USA and Mexico fielded young lineups. 19-year-old New York Red Bulls midfielder Tyler Adams scored the game's only goal in the 71st minute. Now, the USA was coming off a 2-0 friendly loss to Brazil 5 days ago near New York City. From New York, five-time World Cup champion Brazil traveled south here to the Washington area, where the Brazilians cruised to an easy 5-0 win over El Salvador Tuesday night in another international friendly. Tim Weah's teammate on Paris Saint-Germain, Brazilian captain Neymar, played the entire match and opened the scoring for the Brazilians on a penalty kick in the 4th minute. Everton man Richarlison made his first international start for Brazil and scored 2 goals. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, is a program begun in 2010 by then U.S. President Barack Obama. Since then, hundreds of young Africans have traveled here to the USA and to different parts of Africa as part of exchange programs. One of them is Nasera Victoria, whose love for football helped her launch a girls' soccer league in South Sudan. Her project is called the NASVIC Initiative, and it's aimed at giving women new skills in South Sudan. In an interview with John Tanza at our VOA studios here in Washington, Victoria talked about some of the goals of her program.
With numerous interactions with the different U.S. organizations, like the Grassroots Soccer Organization, it's an organization that supports youth through soccer, and they use soccer to run different initiatives like health promotion, education, and inter-clan reconciliations or interstate reconciliations or meetings. So with the organizational setup and the activities they run, if I go and implement using my initiative, which almost had the same objective or vision, I think we will be able with time to get rid of the tribal conflicts. Because my initiative doesn't specify which tribe you come from for you to like be a member or to play football. I don't specifically deal with a specific team. I coordinate with the different teams.
How do you identify a team before, that you want to work with?
Okay, before I came with this initiative, I joined a team in Juba. That's Butala FC. So I started playing with that team for almost a year. But given my work situation and so many trips to the field, I couldn't really afford to keep training and playing. So I said, okay, with my passion for soccer, why can't I continue like uplifting these young girls or these young
stars? And what is your position in soccer? I played soccer many years back. What is your position?
I play number 11, which is wing, and I'm a lefty. So when it comes
I am a lefty too.
So when it comes to running, I run like an antelope. So just know how an antelope runs when it's being pursued by a lion. So that's me in the left.
And how many goals have you scored in your soccer career?
In my soccer career, I have so far scored good 30 goals. Good 30 goals. From like when I really joined playing a real game, good 30 goals.
Mm-hmm.
We call them, some of them were virgin goals.
What is that? I mean, I've never heard that in soccer. What is virgin goal?
It's a goal that the keeper even couldn't manage to even have a small touch on the ball. That's what I termed it as a virgin goal.
Okay.
Very clean and untapped ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about soccer in South Sudan. I know soccer is a sport that is male dominated. During our time, I mean, we never had girls who could play soccer. I don't know. Things have changed. Are you facing any challenges in advancing that in South Sudan?
Even me, I faced those challenges when I was still coming up with
soccer.
And
what are these challenges? When you get into the field, what do people tell you?
There are so many insults which come out from the spectators, and even before the spectators, right from home. It takes time for parents to understand that you really love soccer, or you're not trying to avoid something at home, doing something at home to go and play football.
And with your group in Juba, teams that you're working with, what kind of empowerment techniques are you using to, if you like, attract young people to be interested in sports?
So far, of course, the initiative is still less than a year. We started in December. So during this tournament, like during the tournaments that I held, the tournament that I held, it drew much attention of girls who even stayed back at home. Then they realized that indeed there's good in football, or there's that beauty of being a player or a footballer. So many girls showed up and they really joined other teams, these other teams. Because if I didn't even limit to 22, it would be more than 22 girls in a team that I want to directly work with. So there are more girls or more women who love football, but they're being held back by our social and cultural perceptions of the woman. For example, in one of the states, they say if you play football, you'll not produce. And
meaning you will not give birth.
You will not give birth. Yeah, you will not give birth. And in actual sense, I really tried to think how football affects the reproductive system of the woman or of the female. And if it can make a woman not produce, why couldn't it make men not to produce? That is the question I usually ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to, like this year, use female footballers who already have families or children to speak out to the public that is a wrong, it's a myth. It's a myth that if you play football, you not produce.
That's Victoria Nasera, the director of the NASVIC initiative aimed at empowering girls through sports in South Sudan. And Victoria spoke with John Tanza at our VOA studios here in Washington. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
the National Football League recently kicked off its 99th season, Dan. And before we chat about the NFL, kudos for your one-on-one interview recently with Nneka Ogwumike, the 2016 WNBA Most Valuable Player. She also plays for the Sparks out of Los Angeles and the USA national team. And Dan, I remember when I was in Johannesburg recently, you had some fun about me holding that microphone up high for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Tell our VOA listeners about Nneka's physical attributes.
You know, Nneka is a tall, thin, strong, really interesting-looking woman. She was actually featured not too long ago in the ESPN magazine Body Issue, so she was posed strategically, so none of the body parts were exposed, but you could really see the development of her muscles and how what she does in the weight room and some of her stretching and yoga and that sort of thing help her on the court be as strong of a player as she is. And really athletic, very good looking woman. She's about 6'2", which means she's got about an inch on me, but I think she would easily take me in a game of one-on-one.
Okay. Well, let's chat about the NFL, Dan. Arguably the most popular American sports league. It's had its share of controversy in recent years. How would you describe the league's overall health at this point?
You know, the NFL is really probably the most enigmatic league, major sports league in the United States these days. It is still the most popular sport for fans to watch. The stadiums sell out and there are even more people attached to their TVs and watching in restaurants and bars when the games are going on, and especially the first week of the season. For our listeners who don't really know the way the NFL season gets started, the teams are practicing throughout the summer. They play some exhibition games to try to get ready for the season. But a lot of the teams are not playing their star players in August. They're holding them out until September. So many of the fans haven't really had a chance to see their favorite players play much over the summer. There always are a lot of questions to see how the games will be in the first week, whether they'll be well played, whether they'll be competitive. And the opening week was really a strong week for the NFL, in spite of the fact that the league has gotten a lot of negative attention in the last few years due to the long-term health of the players, due to all of the hard hits that they receive and the concussions that accumulate over time, and so many of the complaints that the former players have made about memory loss and reduced brain functionality and a lot of off-the-field issues as they get into their 40s and 50s. Fans seem to be able to set that aside and show their allegiance for their favorite teams and favorite players. And then later on, they seem to be concerned about the health of the players as they move into their later years.
Coinciding with the kickoff of the new NFL season, Dan, Nike ran an advertisement featuring Colin Kaepernick, who set off the national anthem protests a couple of years ago when he knelt before a game. Kaepernick, even though he's not playing, still kind of hovering over the NFL. Your thoughts, Dan?
We've seen Colin Kaepernick receive this endorsement deal from Nike, which is pretty extraordinary considering he's not playing. He hasn't played since the 2016 season, even though people argue that he's just as good or better than a number of the quarterbacks in the NFL that do have jobs. I mean, you take a look at a team like the Buffalo Bills, who had a horrible loss on Sunday to the Baltimore Ravens. They don't seem to have any NFL-ready quarterback on their roster. Colin Kaepernick is certainly more competent than the two quarterbacks that they have. It's difficult to see a player in his late 20s who's strong and athletic like Kaepernick not playing. The NFL is still trying to figure out how it's going to handle players who take a knee during the national anthem. President Donald Trump still is very negative about the players who decide to do that. We'll see what the league decides to do. The only players that I'm aware of who protested on the field over the weekend were a couple of players from the Miami Dolphins, and Kaepernick tweeted that he was happy to see that they were supporting the trend that he began in the early part of the 2016 season. That's another issue that the NFL is having to deal with, concussions and the kind of the tenuous situation that a league having so many African-American players on the field and the African-American players looking for a little bit more respect for their fellow African-Americans in the greater community in the United States. It's something that still has to play out, and Kaepernick is still going to be a talking point. And I think it's a great story to follow as the season develops.
Dan, you've made no secret on our VOA airwaves about your allegiance to Cleveland sports teams. And I think we should give a shout out for the Cleveland Browns. Tell our VOA listeners about what they did over the weekend, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, if our NFL fans in the audience have been following the league for the last couple of years, they know that the Cleveland Browns have only managed to win one game over the last two seasons. And a big question was whether the Browns would win a game this year and what it would be like in Cleveland if the Browns wound up winning. And they actually were presented with a pretty good opportunity over the weekend because the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing without their best offensive player, Le'Veon Bell, who is holding out in a contract dispute. The Browns got down to the Steelers very early in the game and managed to come back in the second half and tie the game late in the fourth quarter. Going into overtime, both the Steelers and the Browns had a chance to win. Both of the teams missed field goals. The game wound up as a tie, which is a pretty unique finish in the NFL. I think it was the last time the Browns had a tie was in the late 1980s. And at least the Browns can say they didn't lose for the first time since December 2016. So I think the Cleveland fans are optimistic that the streak of not winning will end sometime soon in the 2018 season.
Dan, the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles began the season with an 18-12 victory over the visiting Atlanta Falcons. And a running back for the Eagles with ties to Nigeria had a big game. Why don't you talk about that?
Yes, Sonny. Jay Ajayi, who started his career with the Miami Dolphins and had a couple of really good seasons down in Florida, moved up the East Coast to Philadelphia as part of a trade in recent years. He had two touchdowns in the opening game of the season for the Eagles, who were celebrating their Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots earlier this year. Ajayi scored the key go-ahead touchdown and converted a two-point play late in the game. So a good start for Ajayi.
We knew coming into this game that if we were able to dominate the line like we know we can, that we'd have a good day in our room, and I knew I would have a good day.
That's Philadelphia Eagles running back Jay Ajayi, who had a good day for the reigning Super Bowl champions in their season-opening win over the Atlanta Falcons. And thanks to reporter Dan Friedel for that chat about the National Football League. And we'll hear more from Dan later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with an update on Japan's preparations to host the 2020 Olympics is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last week, Japan was hit by the most powerful typhoon to strike the nation in a quarter century. Then just 2 days later, a deadly earthquake struck northern Japan and triggered a series of landslides across the region. And throughout the summer, Japan suffered through record-breaking heat, torrential rains, and major flooding. John Coates, the chairman of the Coordination Commission for Tokyo 2020, spoke at a news conference in Tokyo this week. He says the recent disasters serve as a reality check for the International Olympic Committee.
What happened last week and then what happened in the Osaka region earlier certainly have hit home to me, and I know the organizing committee, the further complexity of planning for these games because they have to be prepared.
Japan is set to host the largest number of sporting events ever, which Coates says adds to the need to take precautionary measures.
It hit home to me that in the context of these natural disasters that not only are you planning for a Games that's going to have the most number of sports ever, not only are you planning for a Games that will have the most events, but you're also, sadly, in your planning, having to take into account the potential for some of these disasters that seem to beset your country.
Coates also acknowledged the onslaught of events that have plagued Japan are unlike anything they imagined ahead of the 2000 Summer Olympics held in Sydney.
For Sydney, we had a simulation exercise one weekend of what could go wrong, but they were all disasters that we dreamt up. You know, a train coming off the rail in the Blue Mountains, someone bursting through and attacking one of the marathon runners, all of those sorts of things. But you don't have to dream anything up in this country. It's very sad to say.
But while natural disasters are beyond his control, event scheduling is not. And Coates says he's pleased with how things are shaping up, particularly the swimming events.
We are pleased that the announcement has been confirmed now of the swimming finals being in the morning, and the heats will be for the in the evening. So that's the final part of the jigsaw in respect to the competition schedule.
On Tuesday, the 2018 Sailing World Cup was held at an Olympic venue in Enoshima. The competition is the first test event ahead of the Games, and the president of the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee said, quote, "I hope the Enoshima fever follows the Osaka fever," giving a nice nod to the U.S. Open tennis champion Naomi Osaka, who was born in Japan. Less than 700 days to go before the start of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, but who's counting? More sporty news to come. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More Olympic news. Senegal has been chosen to host the 2022 Youth Olympics. From a historical perspective, this will be the first time an Olympic event will be held in an African country. The International Olympic Committee says its executive board picked Senegal after a bidding competition that also included Tunisia, Botswana, and Nigeria. The IOC board, will make the approval of Senegal official in October next month, the weekend of October 8th and 9th. And that's where they will meet in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and give Senegal the green light to host the 2022 Youth Olympics. IOC President Thomas Bach is quoted as saying, "It is time for Africa. Africa is a continent of youth." He says Africa has produced many successful and prominent Olympic athletes. And I couldn't agree more with the IOC president. And that wraps up the September 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Abdullah Ahmed Abdullah is a fugitive and suspected high-ranking member of the Al-Qaeda terror network, who was wanted in connection with the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. Born in Egypt in 1963, he is approximately 173 centimeters tall, with dark eyes and dark hair. He has a scar on the right side of his lower lip. Also known as Abu Muhammad al-Masri, Abdullah is an experienced financial officer, facilitator, and operational planner for al-Qaeda. Hundreds of people were killed in the 1998 embassy attacks and thousands wounded, mostly Kenyan and Tanzanian citizens. 12 Americans died. For these and other acts, Abdullah is charged with conspiracy to murder and other crimes. He, along with his co-conspirator and fellow al-Qaeda member Saif al-Adel, also charged by the United States for involvement in the embassy attacks, moved to Iran after the bombings under the protection of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. For information leading to Abdullah's arrest or conviction, the U.S. Department of State's Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $10 million. The U.S. guarantees that all reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them. If you have information on this man, submit a tip at www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. In North America, call 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion with Ugandan pop star Bobby Wine on his arrest, detention, and release, and why he came to the U.S. to seek medical attention. Ugandan politics in the spotlight on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there is a youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.